Dreams can be amazing. They can be frightening. They can be weird. They can be a lot of things. Here in Daniel chapter 4, they are sent by God for a very specific purpose. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, online at agradio.org. We invite you to join us today as we continue our journey in Daniel. We're back in chapter 4 once again, looking at Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's a message that Pastor Chris has simply entitled, May the Lord Revive Us. We invite you to spend some time with us as we take a look at this dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the significance for you and I today. Here's Pastor Chris.
This is my dream, Nebuchadnezzar says. This is my dream. Belteshazzar, I want you to declare the interpretation of the dream. The spirit of the gods is in you. And Daniel is astonished for a moment. He's troubled because he knew this was not a good dream. He knew this was a very bad dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, if only this vision concerned your enemies and those who hate you. He knows it didn't. Nebuchadnezzar says, don't worry about it. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to tell me what this dream means. Here's what you saw. Here's what's going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the tree. You became this great and mighty tree in the earth. Your greatness has reached up into the heavens and your dominion to the ends of the earth. But an angel is going to come down. And he's going to chop you down. But he's going to leave your stumps and root in the earth. O king, you will be driven from among men. Your kingdom will be taken. Your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You're going to eat grass like oxen. The dew of heaven is going to pass over you 7 times, probably 7 years. And then, just like that, when you recognize who is truly sovereign here, when you recognize who's ruling on earth, who heaven rules everything, then in a moment your kingdom will be restored to you. Verse 27. What does Daniel do with this? The heart of this comes in verse 27. Here's my advice. Let it be acceptable to you, O king. Break off your sins. Break off your sins. Be righteous. Your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. This is so important. You were given everything you are from the Lord. Now, who are we talking about here? We're not talking about a righteous king. Your success, your prosperity, your blessing, your life, your kingdom, your greatness, all of that's from the Lord. But you still haven't learned this. You think your life is an achievement by your own success and your own making. And you are so full of pride, you can't even see none of it's from you. Now here's the humiliation. You've taken glory for yourself. You've not learned that there is nothing you are, body, intellect, mind, will, success, whatever gift you have in your life that got you ahead, whatever wisdom you had that got you ahead, all of it was from God. You have given no glory to Him. You think you deserve this because of the greatness of your greatness? Now, this is where the passage gets intensely practical. This is a universal principle, so crucial to the book. What are we looking at here? We're looking at everything. We're looking at Israel. Why is Israel in Babylon? Israel forgot Israel forgot what God said. Don't you ever think that I chose you for your own greatness. God did not choose you, O Israel, because you were strong and you were mighty. In fact, God chose Israel when they were small and they were weak and they were in bondage and they were without a land. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, you shall perish. This gives a lot of context to what we're seeing in the Middle East in some ways. They were the tree. Nebuchadnezzar shouldn't have been the tree. Babylon shouldn't have been the tree. They were the vine. Psalm 80. You brought out a vine out of Egypt and you cast out the nations. And you planted it and you prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root. You prepared room and for it and caused it to take deep root and it filled the land and the hills were covered with its, ready, shadow. The nations were under the shadow of Israel. But you broke down her hedges, Psalm 80. Why, O Lord? Why did Israel fall? Pride. They forgot the Lord. Think of Hosea 5. The pride of Israel testifies to its face. Personally, I think the trouble we see in Israel to this day is a warning on this point. They should have been made the shade for the nations, but to this day, the gospel of their own Messiah cannot be preached there. And look at what's all around them. Nothing but turmoil, nothing but war, nothing but hatred. Always seeking to take back that land, those people around them. They're never at peace. You don't think that's a universal principle here? They had received mercy, but something shocking. Any nation, anything any nation is, let me say this right now. Anything any nation is from the Lord. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and made him like a tree in response to all this. And that kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar gave shade to all the nations, it says here. Think about the United States. It's really remarkable the shade the United States still thinks it gives to all the nations. One pastor said, what has the nation been like? What do we universally hear and see? Do our leaders give glory to God? Do you ever hear it? We always hear in America that we're superior to everyone else. And I think it's just so cliche now, but at every single presidential speech, there is nothing we cannot do if we do not set our minds to it. There's nothing. Our presidential speeches are exercising boasting in our greatness. It seems that the greatest of all sins, said James Boyce, in this life is pride. When we take glory to ourselves instead of bowing and giving credit to God. This is what we should see. The surprise is that it's on a national level. It's in nations. Jesus said in his day, woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, if the mighty works that had been done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes, full of pride. So we are taught here to look at the greatness of a nation in the earth. And we are taught as we look at the greatness of the nation to see that greatness came from the Lord. But we don't. And the pathway is always we begin to take that glory for ourselves, like Babel at the beginning. God raises up nations and they boast in their glory and then they fall. This is the history of nations. God judges a nation based on the level of the greatness that had been given to them, as much as given to them, much as required. All of that directly applies to us individually. Now it gets super personal. How did you get here today? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? Did I achieve this by my greatness? Do I see myself as wiser than all of you? It's really important to think about. Are you rich today? How do you think you got that and got there? God blessed you. Are you talented? Are you really good at something? Has God raised you up in some kind of unique way in your influence and with your gifts and with your talents? All of you are sitting in church today when the majority of Escondido is not. Great job. How'd you get here? What should be the response to all this blessing, to all your talents, to the fact that you believe the gospel, that you're better than the pagan out here who's smoking crack right now, or the prostitute down on Escondido Boulevard? How many have truly repented? Here's repentance. Here's the heart of it in someone's life. Do you recognize all that God has done for you, all He's given to you? What is your response? Is it worship from the heart? It's all you, Lord. You did this. You saved me. You loved me. I didn't deserve it. And the whole imagery here is He gives everyone time to repent. Back to Nebuchadnezzar. You're the tree. You're going to be cut down. You should repent. You should break off your sins in your life. As a nation, you know, it's interesting. Daniel says this to the nation. Daniel says this to the king. You should break off your sins. You're the leader here. You should repent. You should show mercy to the poor because you're a leader. Maybe God will lengthen your prosperity. If we saw this happen in our nation today, you imagine if Joe Biden repented in front of everyone? You imagine if Donald Trump actually repented in front of everyone? Showed humility? None of this was us. What have we been doing? I get down on my knees and I praise the God of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. You think our course might change? This is Babylon he's speaking to. Here's what happens. Ready? You expect this? 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon I've built as the royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty? Look at this. Look at my house. I built that. I made a great life for myself. Look at my kingdom. Nobody's is like this in the earth." As the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what's decreed for you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you." Taken. It's gone. Just like that. "And you will be driven from people and live with wild animals, and you'll eat grass like ox. 7 times will pass over you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to whomever He wishes." You didn't do this. And that's just what happened. He went out into the fields. He became a beast. Boys and girls, his hair grew like feathers. His nails like claws of a bird. 7 years. The imagery of a beast is really important here. This is what we become at some point in pride. Listen, this is a really important theme in Scripture. Psalm 73, I was like a beast before you when I didn't acknowledge your greatness. Boyce says, if we will not have him and instead turn to our own way, we will go down, down individually and nationally as well. He's so right. It's the principle. Notice how beastly our behavior is as a people and nation. We now follow whatever instinct comes into us like animals. Whatever instinct comes in, that's what we do. We follow it. We have come to the point of erasing all creation norms, blotting out distinctions of male and female, and promoting animal bestiality-like behavior. What do you think this whole agenda is today? It is, I mean, children are being encouraged to identify now as animals. Animals. This is Romans 1, when a nation is and peoples are given over to pursuing whatever are the unnatural now instincts of the human heart. The whole nation's become beastly. The whole nation's become beastly. This is what's happened. I pray we never, and as individuals, become beastly. But there's really good news here. What did this vision show? A stump would remain. The kingdom of, if Nebuchadnezzar repented, would be given back to him. That was an important message to Israel, you see, to Judah. Beloved, we need the Lord to bring sense to us again. Think of how marvelous the gospel is today, you know. God didn't leave us in our sins. God, if God could restore Nebuchadnezzar and chastise him with this kind of pride and raise him up again, the whole message here is there's hope. There's hope for the greatest of prideful sinners. That's the message here. What was the prayer of Psalm 80? Your vine is cut down and burned with the fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man whom you've raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we'll call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. That's what God did. That's what God did. Psalm 80 was answered. He made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, the sheep and the oxen and the beasts of the field. You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. It was our king who was humble, who could have said, look at this great world that I formed by my mighty might and my mighty, the world I made. And I, as the king, came down and humbled myself to the point of death, becoming no better than a worm, Psalm 22. And he's been raised up today over all. He's reigning in heaven. This is how Israel is restored. Not just one nation in the earth. This is how Israel as a people is restored. All of us are called to repent and believe and repent of our pride and recognize in our lives sometimes we take worship and this whole thing, everything, so lightly. And I think that's the kind of pride the Lord hates, that could take or leave worship, could act like this is no big deal in my life as we go sit in our kingdoms and all these things that we've built. This demands and requires humble praise. Then I praise the Most High. I raised up my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was returned. I went insane. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say, what have you done? At the same time, my sanity was restored. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That's good news. That's good news. This was the parable before Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what they needed to do. We too must repent and believe the gospel and live our lives in thanksgiving, acknowledging the King for so great a salvation from a King who was so humble before us. Pride is a deadly sin in people's lives. Our nation bears that out. Our nation bears out how bad pride is in life and what it creates. And God will chastise. How are we represented here? Are we awake in sanity to praise the Lord? All you have is from Him. And today He's announced love to you in the gospel. He's given you His Son. And He says, I've forgiven your sins. Are you awake? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So worship God. Give Him glory in your lives. Put away the stupid sins that ensnare you. Live by His grace. Strengthen yourselves in grace. Was Nebuchadnezzar saved? Well, I think so. I just think we'll see him in heaven. I could be wrong. Whom God loves, He chastens. He didn't take him out like Herod. If Nebuchadnezzar, like Paul, the chief of sinners, could be delivered here and his kingdom restored, He can do the same with us. The question's not about Nebuchadnezzar, though. The question's to us, have you repented and believed the gospel? Have you humbled yourself because of pride to know that Jesus is King over all and He gives salvation to whomever He will? He gives salvation to whomever He will. And He sets it over the lowliest of men. May we respond gladly as the lowest of all people, as those who've received grace when we never deserved it. Give glory to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this wonderful text. Thank You for instructing us in it. Help us, O Lord, to be a people of praise and humility. We're nothing apart from You. We act often like we are. Thank You for salvation. May we never boast. Let our boast be in Christ, our humble King. And may we come to the table now with great joy, recognizing You love us. You gave a table to declare that Christ's blood and righteousness, that You are for us. So may we come believing that through Him we have life. And may we worship the King with all praise and sincerity. In Jesus' name.
Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888 504 8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.